And so Paul then says, is saying to us, we need to stand firm in that truth and not go away from it, not get caught up by other religions and other philosophies that might lead us astray, that might sound really good and in some ways might be considered to be helpful, but actually would slowly and clearly drag us away from the real truth of the gospel message. So he says, yes, stand firm. So I'm going to just offer you a few chips, if you like, to help you to stand firm. Yes, it's another one of those acronyms. A few chips are, the first one is courageousness. If we're going to stand firm, if we're going to be steadfast, we need to be people who are courageous. One of the great scriptural characters who embodies courage was the guy who carried on from Moses to lead the Israelites, a chap called Joshua. And we all know Joshua from the Battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, etc. But as a young man, Joshua was a man who chose by his actions to stay close to God. When the Hebrews were camped out in the desert, God restricted himself to being present through at the temple of meeting. And Joshua would stand, would rest and stay by the tent of the meeting after the meeting had finished, to remain in God's presence. So Joshua wasn't just a guy who, as we know, was a great war leader. He was also, and a great general, he was also a man who had a great spiritual depth to him. And then we hear about Joshua being one of the spies that would go out from the desert and into the land of Canaan to spy it out. And all these spies went to different parts to see what the cities were like, and the town, and what the people were like, and what the land was like. And they came back, and they all came back with this simple story that the land was really nice and fertile, and it was a good place to be, much better than this desert. But there's a bit of a problem, that the people are rather large. And you've got to remember that these guys, the Hebrews, living in the desert, were not going to be big. They had been in slavery for several hundred years in Egypt, probably living off a diet of rice and beans, sort of an early day, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, only sort of, I'm a Hebrew, let get us out of here. You know, they were not going to be very big. And so they were coming out of there and living in the desert. They were looking out into the land of Canaan, where the people who had been brought up on a really good diet, you know, there were plenty of lamb, sheep and fish in the seas, etc., etc., and plus a very fertile land. So these people were going to be bigger, but they were much bigger. And the Israelites, as a nation, when they heard about the size of these people, they became fearful. They ceased to trust that the message that God had given them, that he had promised them this land. And they focused instead on the fact that these people were large, the people that they were going to have to overcome were large, rather than on God. But Joshua and Caleb, they decided, no, we're going to trust God, we're going to put our faith in him, we're going to stand firm. And so that's one of the reasons why only Joshua and Caleb, out of all the Israelites, all the grown men of that time, they were the only people who actually were able to inherit the land and move into the land of Canaan. And they became the key leaders. And as I say, Joshua was the person who God entrusted to lead his people into Canaan. So Joshua takes over from that great leader, that Moses, and leads the people into Israel. And as he's taking them in, God gives him some very clear instructions on courage. He says, be bold and courageous. So here he is, he's taken over from Moses, he's got a command of all these people, and he's going to take them in, all the fighting men in, to conquer this land. And God says, be bold and courageous. And he says it in the chapter one, he says it three times. Now, I don't know if you have, any of you have done any communications courses and training, but when they take you through any communications course, they always say, when you're going to hit people with a message, hit them at least three times. And here it is in chapter one, be bold and courageous, three times. So, if I'd say to you today, if we're going to be bold, if we're going to be stand firm, then we need to be bold. First of all, be bold and courageous. The next thing I'd say we need to be is humble. Humility often gets a bit of a bad name. I don't know if you like me, you remember the Dickens character of Uriah Heep and David Copperfield, you know, that ever so humble I am. And we think of humility as this sort of clawing type of humility. And I also remember Churchill's quote of Clement Attlee, you know, about him being a humble man and with a lot to be humble about. A little bit cutting, you might say. But humility is something that we're encouraged to be. And why? Well, what is a humble character like? A humble character is somebody who is teachable. Are you teachable? Am I teachable? If we're going to be humble, is a key characteristic is to be teachable, to remain teachable throughout our life, from our youth to our age. One of my favourite teachers, biblical teachers, is a chap called David Matthew. And he's this wonderful man who's every now and then, when I'm particularly when I'm preaching or doing some study, and I want things to know something in its essence, something that's put very simply. I often go to his website because that's what he was very good at. He was very good at putting quite complex issues simply because he had a great biblical knowledge. But even on his website, you will see the fact that he's happy to take us through his life journey in faith. And quote the fact that he is still changing and able to change his understanding of the Christian doctrine. And he takes it from being a teenager, at the times which he'll quote from being in his teens, right through to in his 60s. He's able to do that because he is a humble man. The second thing we're going to be, if we be humble, is accountable. And that's a choice, isn't it? Are we accountable to each other? And are we willing to submit to authority? The church is full of people sometimes, not all churches, but some churches, and there's always an element there, are people who are unwilling to hold themselves to account, to be unwillingness to submit to authority. And yet, the great Psalm 91, which is paraphrased by saying, living under the shadow of his wing. And that is basically saying that when we decide to put ourselves under authority, whether that's both God's and man's, then we live under the shadow, under the protection of God's wing. So that's being accountable and submitting to authority. And lastly, I'd say about being humble, is just being willing to admit when you're wrong and to apologise. To say, I'm sorry. That's the other key characteristic. Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to say you're sorry? Romans 12 says this, quite simply, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. The last chip, penultimate chip, I should say, not the last, the penultimate, is perseverance. My late father, our late father, my brother and sister are both here, so I'll say our late father, was also a Yorkshireman. He was from Hull, although he did spend some time in Leeds, Louise. And he was always happy when he was amongst his fellow Yorkshiremen. Yeah, and he was a keen Rotarian and caravaner, and they'd have these rallies. And some of his favourite characters were these Yorkshiremen. I nearly put the four Yorkshiremen up from Monty Python, but I thought, no, better not. We recently had a Monty Python sketch as part of a service. But we nearly had the four Yorkshiremen again. But I thought, no. But one of Dad's friends from Yorkshire had this phrase which Dad would often quote. And he said, "Thou shalt bash on. Thou shalt bash on." And is that determination, perseverance, is that determination, by whatever circumstances that we're in, to bash on? Life can be grim. But when we put our trust in God and put our vision before us of what we're aiming for, we can persevere. And the Bible is full of characters who do just that. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and of course Jesus. They were all perseverers. One of my heroes of the 20th century, and he's a hero, but he's not on a pedestal, is Nelson Mandela. In 2000, I was privileged enough to go to South Africa, to Cape Town area, with the church around. We sent out a group of young people to help do some mission work in the schools and the church out there, and just really just to encourage the folk there. And we went out to a church and based near Cape Town. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to Cape Town, but the views on Cape Town are absolutely stunning. It is one beautiful area with obviously the bay and Table Mountain in the background. But against that beauty, there is a lot of poverty, a lot of deprivation just outside the town. And so you can see why that society is so challenged and so divisive. And on one of the days off that we had, we went out to Robben Island. We went to see the island where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned. And you get to see his cell and this small cell where he was based. And we got to see the quarry where he worked and where he basically broke stones from dawn till dusk. And the sunlight, the mixture of the sunlight and the quarry dust got into his eyes, so he could no longer cry. So he could, you know, of all the dust, he could no longer blink them away. And yet, despite all that, he persevered because he had that vision before him of what of the society he was hoping to be helped to be able to create. And when he was, finally released. I mean, when he was actually in prison, one of the real great things he did was he not only, a qualified lawyer as he was, he did it another degree. And by doing another degree, he encouraged other people to get an education. And of course, he was his immediate circle of black people who'd been imprisoned for being activists. But then it went on to the coloured people. Because the prisons in society in South Africa were completely segregated. You had the blacks, the coloureds, and the whites. And on Robben Island, there were all three. So he encouraged first the blacks, then the coloureds, and then the whites, and even the guards to start getting an education, to improve their education. So he started to affect change in the prison. And you probably remember those of you, of when he was actually released from prison. The seamlessness from which he went from prison to being captured in his own home, being a prisoner in his own home, to then having talks with de Klerk and into government. And it was just a seamlessness from prisoner to statesman. And the forgiveness, he had he carried a message of forgiveness and reconciliation. And so he's somebody I always admire and honour, but it's important not to, like Paul said, not to get deflected and put him on a pedestal, to respect him for what he did, but not to worship him. So that is perseverance. The last one The last chips is the S itself, is Sid. And I'll just introduce you briefly to Sid. Sid is the stone hippo that I brought back from South Africa from that trip. And as you can see, Sid is stone and very hippopotamus shaped. And these are made and sold by Africans on the sides of roads. And how they make them is they get sandpaper and they rub the stone with the sandpaper to make these carvings. Sandpaper and water to make the carvings. And then they polish them with shoe polish. And that's how they make their living. And I think this is a wonderful symbol of character. You see, the word character that we use actually comes from the Greek, which means to carve, carved out. And if we're to stand firm, the characteristics which I've got to describe to you are characters that they take time, they take repeating. It's not once only. Standing firm is not something that we do once. It's something that we have to do continuously. So we have to be courageous all the time. We have to remain humble, and we have to keep on persevering. So that's it. I mean, today obviously is a great, proud day as a father, as Emma and Rebecca have made their decision. And I just want to close in prayer. So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today for the decisions that both Rebecca and Emma have made. And I ask that you will help us and them to stand firm today and always. In the name of Jesus. Amen.